Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, gender-free Friday. Felger and Mass here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Simulcast, as usual, on NBC Sports Boston. That beams out across New England and the country. Catch us anytime on the app, the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Just download that. It's a good product. I use it. So good I use it. The stream comes right up, and if you miss a segment or an hour or a show, it's right up there on the replay. You can catch it that night or the next morning, so you never miss a thing. Everything's on the table today. We did some Celtics. Of course, Brady Rogers. We're still basking in the Red Sox and the World Series win, so we're reliving some of those moments, and we will continue to relive some of those moments this hour, and a little Bruin stuff with the goalies, which is what we'll come back with and what quite a few people have wanted to weigh in on. Joe and Peabody. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good shows this week.
Thanks.
So, Bruce Cassidy, honestly, just love the honesty out of him. He's awesome with what he's doing with Halak, especially with the lineup. I mean, you mentioned the teams, Mike. He's got a tough, you know, go ahead coming up as well. I mean, just a kick in the butt for Tuca, which he needs as well. I mean, we want a consistent goalie that's going to give his life for a save. You know what I mean? As well, one more thing, quick thing about what you guys said. Please let me bask in this. Tim Allen? Really?
Tim Allen. We're talking about the voiceover for the
for Game 3 of the World Series.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's pathetic.
Oh, my God.
It is. It's pathetic. Like, they couldn't find some other schlub in Hollywood to do it?
Captain Nesbitt. That's what I was trying to come up with yesterday.
Apparently, it was split in the markets. Some people got Tim Allen, and some people got Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's that science nerd.
Huh?
No.
You don't know
what?
Who he is?
Who? No. So, either way, we roll out Vince Lombardi. We roll out Bill Belichick, living legend, five rings champion. They roll out Tim the Toolman Taylor and what?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I told you, they should have got, even if they just gotten LeBron to do it, that would have been good.
Good God.
New LA guy like Magic would have been easy, although I think LeBron's a better choice than Magic.
Wikipedia describes him as an American astrophysicist, author, and science communicator.
Oh, whatever. And on Cassidy?
Also known as a nerd.
Yeah.
On Cassidy, that you can tell, and he's not ripping Rask, but it's just plain talk, and it tells you that they're done. They're done babying him. They're done coddling him. He gives up a horrible goal against Montreal to begin that game, and Cassidy says,
you know, it was a soft goal.
Soft goal. The other guy's playing better.
I think Halak has been better than Tuca.
He's playing better. we're not going to talk about that. You know, we're not going to beat around the bush here. He's off to another slow start. Why? Well, maybe he's not in shape, right, Bruce? So
he's admittedly said he, you know, is a little slower out of the gate. Well, why is that? So we've talked to him about the end of last year. Was that a factor of conditioning in the summer, or is that just part of how you play?
Are you not in shape? Is that conditioning?
I love the fact that they asked him about that. Like, what are you doing during the summer when you go home? Wherever that is.
What are you doing?
Seriously, what are you doing? Are you coming back ready to go? Or are you just taking the summer off?
Wake up, Rask.
I like, you know,
that's,
I do,
all, that's all they're doing.
I do love the fact, though, that Cassidy, and you know, he's picking his words more carefully than he did in his first year, right? Because he was,
yeah,
you know,
a little more
holy
direct.
Crap. I mean, he was so direct, but he treats them like adults. He calls them on it. Thank goodness for that.
A little bit of the core in him, as a previous caller.
Absolutely.
Mentioned. Nick in Rhode Island on the quarterback thing. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? Great show. Love the show. I just want to say, Tuca, we got to get rid of him. Let's go Halak. I just hated Tuca for the past 5 years, but back on the Brady, Rogers, and Manning, I don't know how you guys are talking about Rogers being better than Manning. Like, you guys are saying that he only won one Super Bowl. He didn't deserve this Super Bowl. But where's Denver right now after they lost him a few years ago? They went right in the pooper.
Okay, so I think, yeah, just don't lump me in. I have Manning ahead of Rogers.
So do I.
Not me. 9-1 and duns. 9 one-and-dones. And he was a sidecar for that second Super Bowl, and he shouldn't even have won the first one. The only reason he did was because Bob Sanders was healthy, and they had a defense, and Adam Vinatieri kicked, what, 6 field goals in Baltimore? He's lucky he even had one. The hell out of here with Peyton Manning.
Well, how many has Brady won without a defense?
None.
Well, one.
One. Atlanta.
No. Well, the hell with you. We'll disagree with on that.
Brady won one without a defense, but he had... Yeah, no, because I go Manning over Rodgers just because body of work. I think Manning, for a longer period of time, carried his team into the playoffs every year, where he did have the gag, no doubt. And I think Rodgers is a better pressure player than Manning. Most quarterbacks are a better pressure player than Manning. Manning had trouble in pressure. But every year, with a mediocre coach, I'm sorry, I'm not a Tony Dungy fan, and zero defense, every year that team was 10, 11, 12 wins in the divisional round of the playoffs, where he would then crap himself. But, for like 12 straight years, that's where he got that team.
Look, there's a reason why, I think it was you who came up with that line, the Patriots had patterned themselves after the Colts and they became it. Because all those years they relied on Brady too much and they didn't have a defense.
So they started winning again.
Okay, but when they got a defense again in 2014 is when they broke through. Now 2016 was different. But even last year, like obviously. Brady was good enough to win with. But their defense sucked. So I just think that with Manning, it's hard to overlook that.
Here's our buddy Billy in Rhode Island. Hi, Billy.
How you doing, Felga? Comment on the Patriots. I am amazed that these guys keep winning, to be honest with you. They play a defense that everybody knows. They don't change up much. They don't blitz much. They play soft. They constantly go into every game that way. And for some reason, they let them work and go down the field and work in the red zone, and they try to hold them. That's their philosophy. They don't change. The other teams, they mix it up. They come in, and what do? They shoot themselves in the foot. Brady, believe me, not because I'm just a Patriot fan, he is the greatest quarterback of all time, no doubt. He knows how to run a team with wounded ducks, which they have right now. Okay. Their players are hurt. They have no backups, and they're still winning games.
Well, let's see how far they go, Billy. Thank you for the call. Like, just to stick on the defense, on both sides of the ball, I think 14 was a really,
they were good.
So you had both Edelman and Gronkowski, and then the defense, Revis, Browner, still a Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Alan Branch, who was really good, Ninkovich, like that was a good defense. And your offense was fully loaded. I think when you got back to the Super Bowl in 14, you were a little less on, or in 16, you were a little less on both sides of the ball. I think this year, you're still a little less on both sides of the ball. Both Gronkowski and Edelman are diminished from what they were in 2014. And your defense, I think, has taken a big hit from 2014.
So this year, the one point where I started to feel better about the Patriots' defense was the first half of that Kansas City game, where it felt like they started scheming it, and Hightower made that pick. And I don't know, I wonder if maybe we'll see some of that this week. You can't just do the standard crap against Rodgers. Maybe in the red zone they can get away with it now because Green Bay doesn't have the weapons that they've had in the past, and so to get a little tougher down there. But you got to mix it up on Rodgers. Otherwise, he's going to put up 35.
Okay, here's our accordion champion, Corey Pescatore from Rhode Island. If you have needs for a wedding, a bar mitzvah of any kind, Corey's your man. He can play accordion for like 2 straight days if you ask him to. What do you got for us today, Corey?
Mike, first of all, where are the callers to tell you congratulations on your Every Dog Has Its Day? Where are
Thank
they?
You. Now, where's my apology? I still haven't gotten my apology from the people.
Yeah, and I didn't believe either because I've always hated Bryce, still hate him, let him go. But you were right. You said every dog has his day, and boy, did he ever. Murray saw that I was at the after party in L.A. on Sunday night. I was out there. I will email you guys with one very interesting thing I saw. I don't want to say publicly. I will say publicly, Chris Sale is a very, very nice guy, and he didn't cut up my shirt either. So, great guy. Had a wonderful time there. So, Aaron Rodgers, I cannot believe this stat is true. I spent 2 hours on my computer reviewing this because I couldn't believe this is true. He is 0-41 when behind by more than a point in the fourth quarter to a team with a winning record. If you get him by 2 points in the fourth quarter and your team has a winning record, he is 0-41 lifetime, postseason, regular season. It's unbelievable. I could not believe this stat is true.
Okay, it sounds like a great one. Or it sounds like an interesting one, but don't make me go back over some of these games for you.
Or it means that your defense sucks.
I mean,
and he got the lead and then they gave it back.
If you want to say the Packers are that's fine. But I mean, I gave you at least a handful of games yesterday where Aaron Rodgers did everything anyone could possibly do to win his team a game, and they blew it on defense or special teams or a coaching decision. It happens to him over and over and over again. I think early in his career was a little different, but in these last couple of years, I don't put the fourth quarter thing on him. I do not. I do not. But if that's the number, that's the number. I'm not going to argue with the stats. Jake and Andover on this conversation. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. So I want to do this quick review on the Rodgers and Brady thing. So honestly, I still have to put, as of right now, as a quarterback, not winning or the Patriots, is that Rodgers is better. In terms of, if you look at what he's had for weapons over his entire career since 08 when he started, he's had Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings. Brady, look, I just show his stats, that when you compare stats against Rodgers and Brady's, look how many extra yards that guys like dink and dunk passes for James White and Julian Edelman get 25 yards.
Okay, but Jake, that's to Brady's credit because he goes there. Where Rodgers does not take the easy money a lot. He's dancing around back there looking to chuck it 30 yards down the field. If he dumped it off a little bit more, he might get that. I don't hold that against Brady. I think that's to Brady's credit and to the offense's credit. But the weapons, that's not where I would defend Aaron Rodgers, because Rodgers has had good players.
I mean, I thought Jennings was awesome.
I mean, I don't know if they're as good. I mean, he hasn't had a Hall of Famer like Gronkowski. He hasn't had guys like Welker or Edelman, but he's had good players. If you wanted to play this game, I'd say he hasn't had the coach. Brady's had Belichick, and Brady has had, for the first half of the dynasty here, their defense, they were winning on defense. The Packers never won on defense, ever. They've never done that for Rodgers. So there's been times where Brady has had a defense, and he's always had a coach that has a clue. Rodgers hasn't had that. He's had receivers.
I mean, when you really look at the coaches for Rodgers, that's a big one. I mean, that's massive. Like, there's nothing. I thought Jennings was dynamite.
He's a nice player.
I mean, at the peak of his career, he was terrific. And Nelson was a good player, too.
Yeah, no, he's had receivers. I'm not playing that game.
So what I wonder about with Green Bay in this game is just, do they have the right kind of people to exploit what the Patriots can't do?
And can they think that way?
Well, right. So, like, you know, I don't know. Do they throw the running back a lot? If they're just going to throw to the receivers all night, they're going to lose.
Yeah. And they don't watch. Like, the Packers, Bedard talks about this all the time. It's so true. They never send their guys in motion. They never do bunch formations over here to it's just sort of straight up. They line up and go. And it's not even really good combination routes. They just sort of, you all run your route, and if you get open, you get open. If not, Rodgers tucks the ball and then dances around back there, and then he maybe has a secondary play. He chucks it 80 yards down the field, and they make a play, but it's like, their offense is uniformly unimpressive.
See, now, 4 years ago, if I remember, we had the game up here a minute ago. My recollection is that Davante Adams at that time was like the third receiver or fourth receiver on the team. And Rodgers threw to him, and they exploited that matchup. So I don't know. If they do that again on Sunday, whether it be with the third or fourth receiver, you know, Allison or whoever else it is, or the backs or Jimmy Graham, then they'll have a shot.
Pick this up on the other side with more reliving of the World Series Championship by your Red Sox.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Saving all my postseason wins for the Red Sox. I know good things are going to happen to me in October, and that just hasn't been the case thus far.
I know how good he is. I trust the guy.
This isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives, but this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price.
Does pitching your team to the World Series sound like enough?
Not yet, no. Not for me. You know, not for the other guys in the clubhouse. You know, we got four more wins. That was very, very special. Absolutely, but we want more.
Taylor strikes out on three pitches.
Pumped for myself, pumped for all my teammates and coaches. For us to be two wins away and up 2-0 right now in the World Series, that's a good feeling.
You said in game four of the ALCS, warming up in the bullpen, you found something. Since then, two brilliant performances. What has changed?
I have.
Struck him out. Second time Machado has struck him out. 0-2, back to Price. What a night. It's all David Price in game five.
This is why I came to Boston. You know, this is, I knew it was a tough place to play. I knew it was challenging with everything that's going to go on there. But, no I've been through a lot in 3 years since I've been here, but this is why I came. I hold all the cards now, and that feels so good. That feels so good. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good. I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here, and we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
There's a David Price thing. The face of the championship. You were there at the Garden last night. Got a nice big ovation, by far the biggest ovation of anyone on the floor, right, Murray?
It wasn't even close. Everyone else, you know, Benintendi grabs it, yay, Corus got it, yay, and then Price gets it. Rah!
What were you doing? You were in the stands. What were you doing?
Just standing there.
Come on.
No, I just was standing there.
Golf clap?
No.
He's going.
No. I said good. I said good for him.
You were doing your voice the whole time, Murray.
No,
that's what you were doing.
Standing there with the lovely Jasmine, and we were like, "All right, come, get on with it. Can we actually watch some basketball here?" But as I said, good for David Price. I never said I was happy for him. So, good for David Price. Good for him. That's all. That's all you get.
What do you think the Derek Jeter hat was all about?
I think that's one
four
giant.
Four more years.
Yeah. No, that's part of the FU tour that David Price gets to be on right now, and rightfully so, because he's taken a beating here, mostly with me right at the helm, for the last few years. So he's wearing, yes, for those that didn't see it, a Derek Jeter respect hat on, pretty much on purpose. I can't imagine that he did that, just...
So what's the angle there? What's the end game?
You all need to respect me now because you got this championship. I'm going to hold it up again. Everyone cheer. I'm going to hold up this championship trophy. Who got you this? Me. Respect this. Oh, you know it's a Jeter hat, too, and he's on the Yankees. You want to cheer Yankees suck? You go right ahead, idiots, because now you got me 4 more years. Respect it. Who holds the cards? Who has the trump card? That's me, bitches. Right here. Oh, you're going to get mad at me for wearing a Yankee hat? Oh, what are you going to do? You need me. You wouldn't have this without me. 4 more years. 4 more. Oh, you think, what would I even be here right now, hoisting this trophy up without me? Nope. Respect it. That's right. It's a Jeter hat, bitches. 4 more years. 4 more years. What are you going to do? What are you going to say now? And to his credit, he gets to act like that right now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do without me? That he actually got to accomplish that is pretty remarkable, considering how everything had gone for him up until this postseason.
Oh, great story.
Oh, if I were him, I would have pulled down my pants and mooned the crowd like he had every right to do that.
He did.
A little meat spin there, man.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Woo. Like, there you go. Totally. Look, to me, this is one of those. I think it's a great story. I mean, I really do. Great, great story. A guy that has failed like that over and over and over again. And then he gets into October in a year, by the way, where the ace of the staff is wounded. And he pitches on 3 days rest twice and comes up big and wins the World Series. I mean, seriously, in your face. Like, oh, good for him.
This lady tweeted me last night. It actually is the perfect analogy, too. She said her cabbie after the game said, hey, just see, you know, David Price was there, whatever. He's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They all hated him until they needed him, and then they loved him. He is. David Price, Rudolph the, David the weak-armed pitcher. I should have thought this one up before I started singing.
Come on.
Nah, I don't know. I don't want to butcher it. Hold on. Someone had actually sent me lyrics, and now I can't find them.
Weak-minded, maybe?
Yeah.
Weak-minded pitcher? No, it's good. I like it. They'll work on it over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, give me a second. I can find it.
Somebody get it done by the end of the next segment.
Lay down some tracks, Murray.
Yeah.
All right, to your phones as promised. Tom in Clinton. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. So Halak's 33 years old, right?
Yes.
A little success in his 20s and also in the playoffs had a little success. Well, how old was Tim Thomas when he had his first quality season?
Oh, God, maybe 34?
33, I think, was his first good year. And 36, 37 was his Stanley Cup year.
He was 36 in 2011?
That doesn't sound right.
We'll look it up, but keep going.
Okay, so point is, maybe he's not calling it to be Tim Thomas, but he doesn't really need to be, but if he's really good, why can't he bring us into a deep run into the playoffs?
Tom, it's not a fair point. Goalies can have runs in their deep career. When you won that cup in 11, the guy who played for Tampa was Rolston. Who was it? He was ancient.
Rolston, yeah.
Rolston was like, was he
39, 40.
40,
yeah. I was going to say 41 or something.
I think he was 40, yeah.
And he was awesome.
Yeah.
He was terrific that year. So it's possible. Look, it's possible.
Thomas turned 37 that April.
Holy smokes.
He's right.
That old.
He's right. Yeah, he was born in 74. And in 2011, April of 2011, he turned 37 years old. I did not remember that.
Yeah. Rolson was 41, by the way.
Rolson was 41. Wow.
What is his name? Dwayne?
Rolly the goalie.
Hey, I found those lyrics that this dude tweeted me last night, too, with the header that said,
"Do your job."
Yeah. The guy sent this to me saying, "Yeah, I'm high." So thank you, Notorious RIC on Twitter. Again, Cabby referring to David Price as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They all hated him, then they needed him, and now they love him.
David the Red Sox pitcher had some past playoff woes, and if you ever saw him, you would even say he blows. All of the Boston media used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor David go out there and pitch his games. Then one October night, Cora came to say, "David, with your rake so nice, won't you pitch this game tonight?" Then all the Sox fans loved him, and they shouted out with glee, "David, the Red Sox pitcher, you'll go down as MVP."
So there you go. Thank you very much, Notorious RIC.
You could have done much more with that. David, the weak-armed pitcher, is better.
Totally. Weak-minded.
Yeah, get some crap-the-pants references in there.
Absolutely.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
Diapers.
Get to work, Murray.
Jim in Amesbury on the quarterback thing. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how's it going? Been waiting. I'm glad you got me through. First off, I love your show. I watch it all the time. Or watch and listen. The greatest quarterback definitely is Brady. I think you guys agree on that.
Sure.
But I'm 60 years old, and that's my second time calling, and I'm very happy about that because I enjoy your show. But you guys never mentioned Joe Montana, and that's great, but you never mentioned Terry Bradshaw. I watched Terry Bradshaw when I was a teenager, and he was great. He won 4 Super Bowls, but he doesn't even get mentioned when you're mentioning guys that won 1 Super Bowl, 2 Super Bowls. That's it. I'm just going to hang up, and maybe I just want to listen to you guys. Fair. See what you think about why Terry Bradshaw doesn't get any credit or any accolades.
No, I mean, he should be mentioned more than he is, but I'm going to look it up for you. I think he threw more interceptions than touchdowns in his career.
Yeah, again, but in that era, too, the numbers, the ratios are totally different, right?
Sure, but you don't need to throw – I mean, you don't need to be underwater. Like, was Bart Starr underwater? Were these guys underwater? And again, I want to look it up, but I think it was close to he had 212 career touchdowns, 210 career interceptions.
Oh, wow, dead heat.
You know what his career quarterback rating was?
80 even.
70.9.
Wow.
Wow, that's terrible.
Right? His career completion percentage. Guess what his career completion percentage is?
Oh, so I'm going to guess under 55.
51.9.
Yeah. But again, in the era that
could mug receivers.
Okay, no.
Well, and also they didn't. There was no such thing as a West Coast offense.
In 1978, they opened up the rules. That's the line of demarcation in the NFL. 1978, they opened up the rules and it became a passing league. Starting in 1978, here's Bradshaw's completion percentages. 56, 54, 51, 54, 52.9, and then his last, he played one game in 1983. Doesn't count. 62. He was never an accurate passer. He was never, and this is just a little bit, I mean, I was a young kid in the 70s. I can't assess him as an adult. It was just a little bit before my time. But the numbers feel to me like he doesn't belong in the conversation. Even after 78, when they opened up the passing rules.
I mean, to me, he was a good leader, and he could throw a hell of a deep ball.
Oh, his arm had a cannon.
Yeah, he could throw a great deep ball, and he was tough, and he led them. But they were a running team that would play action and hit you with a bomb.
In 1979, starting in 79, touchdowns to interceptions, 26 to 25, 24 to 22, 24 to 14, 17 to 11. It's like those numbers just aren't quite good enough. But I've done this before. I've talked about this before. If you go to Joe Namath, you can do something similar. His numbers are similar to that.
I mean, a lot of those guys in that era.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It really is a difference maker.
Ooh.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
All right, wrapping it up here on an agenda-free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Final word coming your way in about 15 minutes. I've been told it's an epic. I've been told Hardy has had or has some excellent material. There's a Mad Mike and a Squeaky Maz, fresh Squeaky, fresh Mad Mike. And apparently Hardy was really happy with it. So there was some material this week.
I mean, he was pretty proud of himself today, didn't he?
I can't even think about what we were. I mean, I can remember one thing with you yesterday got a little strong.
There's been a lot of content over the last 8 days of anger, so this is a good one.
He didn't have enough time to turn yesterday around.
Yesterday would have given him some ammo.
If we have a suck week next week, we have material from the last 10 days to get more.
This is what Hardy said. He said, I had so much to choose from, but what I chose, I was very happy with. So when Hardy's happy, that's usually an indicator there. And it wasn't even yesterday. So there was something strong. Strong to quite strong on both of us. So
even when Hardy says he doesn't like it, it's still pretty good.
Of course.
Oh, maybe it's something to do with parades. I know what it is.
Well, we'll see. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Your thoughts until then. Bill in Webster on the Red Sox. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. Two quick thoughts. One, I'll give you your huzzas, but it's only half a huzzah for Price because you were a little wishy-washy. You said he could, not would.
After that Yankees game, I panicked. You didn't hear me saying he's going to win after that Yankees game. I retreated after that one. That one scared me.
But, the next thing is I always hated the Price signing because I thought it was an overpriced replacement for Lester, and I always held that against the Sox. But to quote Maz, if he wants to shake his bony ass in front of me, I'm going to have to put up with it and shake his hand and say he was the man.
Well, he was. The rings are the ultimate, shut the bleep up.
I mean, where else do you go? Like, just give it to him.
Give him
his due. He earned it. And again, like, to me, that's another thing that you have to sort of acknowledge. When he broke through, it wasn't a fluke or where he went six innings and gave up four runs and they scored 11. He really did outpitch the other guy in all three of those games. Verlander and Kershaw along the way on 3 days of rest both times. Like, you know, there aren't many holes in those outings.
And he got up every day in the bullpen. He pitched some, didn't pitch every day, but was up every day ready to take the ball.
No, he deserves all the praise right now. There's no two ways about it.
All right, Mike, and Woburn's got a couple things for us. Hi, Mike.
All right, so first of all, I still don't understand how you rate Peyton Manning above Aaron Rodgers.
Body of work.
But the body of work. You know what? The body part that you need to look at is from the waist down, and that should tell you everything you need to know about Peyton Manning. We've gone over this before. If his GM did...
I didn't do it. He's breaking up. Mike, you're going to have to... I'll put you on hold there and bring you back here, see if you can drive to a different zone or go somewhere else. You're breaking up on us. Cyrus in Boston on the quarterback thing. Yes, Cyrus?
Yeah, just to push up, enjoy the show and enjoy the banter. Quick thing about Belichick's presser and what he said about Rodgers and Maz's point about whether or not he was including his time as a coordinator. You know, Belichick did pretty well against Montana as a Giants coordinator and had a lot of success against Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, John Elway as well. I think it's perfectly reasonable for him to get up there and say, Aaron Rodgers is the guy. I know he didn't say this, but if he feels that Rodgers is the guy that kept him up the most at night preparing for, I believe it 100%. Love to hear your guys' thoughts about
that. It's possible. If it's true, that's high praise. You know, he says he's more difficult to pray for than the guys you just mentioned.
I mean, to me, again, Montana, and I also know that Belichick held Montana in very high regard, as everyone would. I mean, you can probably speak better to that than I could. But to me, my recollection is Bill thought very highly of Montana.
I just remember taking his pants off for Lawrence Taylor is what I remember.
Okay. I mean, I always thought that when he talked about Montana, he, you know, compare other guys to Montana, you know, even specifically Steve Young, that he would say, Steve.
Well, no, so, I mean, he showed us film once of why Steve Young wasn't Joe Montana. And it turned into a little bit of a rip session on, he said, this guy never scared us. And here's why. It was cool. He showed us a simple little route out of the backfield where Montana threw to the running back, threw to Craig or Rathman or something like that. Very simple little swing pass to the running back, put it on his outside shoulder, and the running back gained 7 extra yards and got a first down. He said, there's nothing we could do about this. And then he showed a clip of Steve Young running the exact same play to not Craig but Rathman, and the ball was just a little bit behind him, and he lost a step, and he was tackled after 2 yards. He said, we could always stop this guy. We always felt good about this guy and not the other one. So I think it was really more to rag on Steve Young, because Steve Young was sometimes critical of the Patriots. That's what I really think Bill was doing there. But anyway, that's the Steve Young story.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, again, he went against Montana in Montana's heyday. And Montana, to me, was as good a pressure performer as you'll ever see. you know, four perfect Super Bowls. Absolutely perfect. Pristine. And so Bill knows what he's saying when he's talking about Rodgers.
Okay, Mike, you're in a better zone. Go ahead.
All right. So, body of work. Nobody has ever, in the history of the NFL, lost to more mediocre teams with superior talent in the playoffs than Peyton Manning. How you would rate that guy higher than Aaron Rodgers is beyond me. I don't understand it. I mean, even when Peyton won, he was never the Peyton that was the regular season, like, stat compiler. He was the guy that they had to put in a special game plan so that he wouldn't, like, defecate all over the field.
Okay,
like,
so, can I also tell you why I would put Peyton there? It's because he played every week. He was there every single week. I never know if Rodgers is going to play or not, or if he's hurt or not. He's always getting hurt.
Yeah, that's easy to do when your wife is a drug mule for you and you can get HGH whenever you want it.
All right, let's just agree to disagree.
But you can agree, okay, and I can agree that if I have an all-time great quarterback, I don't want him handing off the ball 50 times to Dominic Rhodes and Joe Adai in the Super Bowl. I want him to win the game for me.
I mean, let me say, this is at this point in time as well. I mean, Rodgers, you know, if Rodgers goes on another deep run and carries the team and compiles the body of work that Peyton Manning does, then I'll alter it. But I just don't think he's there yet.
But see, the thing, I give Aaron Rodgers more credit because he won his Super Bowl. He wasn't dragged there by a defense turning over the ball 13 times or literally. Like, the Broncos won? Like, they could have had an electric football quarterback running that Denver team, and it would have gotten them more yards
than
Manning did.
You guys are wrong about that. They made the right call to go back to Manning. Osweiler would not have run him that championship. Manning won him that championship. He wasn't prolific, but he made the plays he had to make. He sucked in the Super Bowl. I'll agree with you on that. What's your other point, Mike?
The other point is my defense of Tuukka Rask was always based on the following. We don't have a better option. Guess what? Now we do. Halak is sort of almost
okay,
the same guy Rask is.
Hold on. But, you know, to begin the year, you were dumping on Halak, too. Have you changed your mind on Halak?
Yes, I did, because the guy I saw last year for the Islanders who lost his job to Thomas Greiss, who had a 9.6 or 9.7 save percentage, isn't the guy we're seeing for the Bruins right now. The change of scenery has obviously helped this guy, and he's a guy who, like, historically, throughout his career, has gone on hot streaks. Ride the streak. Ride the streak, because you know what? It also benefits Rask. Because the best Tuukka Rask you've seen is the Tuukka Rask with something to prove. Whether it's I have to beat Tim Thomas out of a job, or I have a prove it contract that Shirelli signed me to, and I want to cash in. Those are the times that you see the best Rask too. This is a great situation for the Bruins right now.
Okay, took you a while to come around to that, Mike. You could also just say you were wrong, but that's okay. I'm not going to put that. I know that's hard for you and your ilk, the Boohoo Tuukka crew, but you were wrong. Yeah, fine.
I think Halak has been better than Tuukka.
Fine. Rask deserves at least one more chance. He is, on paper, the better goalie. So Rask will get another chance. But this thing about when he has something to prove, like he doesn't have something to prove in the playoffs every year, or at the end of these years where they have one or two more games to make the playoffs and he taps out because of intestinal turmoil or whatever the hell he's missing these games for, he has nothing to prove there. I mean, if it's only because of his own personal situation, his contract or his playing time, but the actual team motivation doesn't motivate him, what does that say about this guy? Come on.
Yeah, look, to me, I told you, I don't mind at all that they're doing it the way they're doing it with Tuukka for lots of reasons. Those guys sign big contracts. A lot of times they get very cozy.
And I told you from day one, Halak, don't hold the Islander stuff against Halak. He wasn't playing behind Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara, even a diminished Zdeno Chara. It's a defensive-minded, solid team the Bruins have always been. You know, even through with Cassidy, they've done a good job defensively in their own zone. They never lost that.
I mean, I give the Bruins credit for doing it this way. It's hard with a guy who has a contract like that because you always want to justify the investment. Like, if he doesn't play well, don't play him.
We've got Matt in Rhode Island, Packers Patriots. Your thoughts, Matt?
Hey, guys. I mean, when you compare quarterbacks, I mean, you have to look at more than just wins and Super Bowls. It's such a team game with so much else going on. Same thing with pitchers. No one looks at just wins. They look at strikeouts. They look at ERAs. I mean, what Rodgers has done, I mean, Brady's been in the league 16 years. How many seasons has he thrown nine or more interceptions? He's done it 10 times. Rodgers only done it twice. I think the gap is way closer than people think. I mean, there's no bad part of Rodgers' game. I mean, he avoids sacks. He can throw on the run. I mean, his IQ is off the charts. I mean,
don't tell me there's no bad parts of his game. He holds the ball and takes hits. That's a bad part of his game. He holds the ball too long and subjects himself to big hits.
I mean, I think over his career, too, hasn't he taken a truckload of sacks?
No question. A truckload. And that's one thing. Like, the negative play he can even throw his way out of. But when you separate your shoulder, sprain your ankle, wrench your knee, I mean, bruise your this, bruise your that, and you're limping around the next week, what good is that? So that's totally on. Don't tell me there's nothing that he does poor. That's the one thing he does poorly. But I will say, given how he plays, the low amount of turnovers is pretty damn impressive, because he plays, quote-unquote, recklessly. I mean, he takes shots. He's not a conservative quarterback, and he still doesn't turn the ball over. That's to his credit, for sure.
Oh, gosh. Is he number one all-time in quarterback rating?
He is. Quarterback rating, and he might be TD to interception. I'm not sure.
I mean, there's nothing fluky about that. Like, he is, I mean, he's strong-armed, accurate, smart, you know, mobile, all of it.
He's good. He's really good. He ain't Brady. Who is, though? It's the next best thing. Sunday night, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You don't want to miss that, and you don't want to miss the final word next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, we have a squeaky Maz and a mad Mike.
Fresh. Today. Freshies.
Yes, put together by Hardy of the Midday Show. We will start with Maz. It's labeled here, Squeaky Maz, Best B-Ball Video Game.
Hold on.
What?
No.
Best B-Ball Video Game.
Hmm.
Well, let's.
I don't know what this
all
is.
All right, yeah, go.
Let's start it.
Hi, Dan in the car. What do you got for us?
Just wanted to point out something. There's a video game, MVP 2005. You can actually make an entire starting roster out of current managers in the MLB right now. You'd have Robert, Baldelli, Bell, Cora, Hoffman, Boone, Kapler, Hinch, and Council. I thought that was pretty cool. I think that's...
Do you care about that?
No. This is the same clown who sent us an email about this during the day. I got this email. Like, oh, look, you can make a lineup out of Major League Managers. Great. I bet you could do that a million other times, and you just never thought of it, because it was Terry Francona and, you know, I'm just rattling off the top of my head now. Bob Melvin and whatever other jackass was sitting on a bench on some team somewhere. You could probably do it before, too. Oh, God, who gives a rat's ass? Seriously, who gives a rat's ass? Could you build a whole bullpen? Could you do that? How about an infield? Could you do an infield of the managers? Ooh, like that's cool. I don't give a rat's ass.
Probably the best baseball video game of all time.
Biggest nothing call ever.
Dan, thanks for the call. We do appreciate it. Don't listen to me.
God, who gives a rat's ass? Could you do an infield of the managers? Ooh.
So that I do remember.
Yeah, vaguely.
Outstanding.
So this was a long week. It was a long month.
Well, yeah, so this one is also caller-based, apparently, as it's labeled. Mad Mike Monday Calls.
Yeah, Monday.
Huh. I don't know. Were they worse than usual?
Oh, no. This is the poor guy who wanted to eulogize his grandfather.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like Rick Monday, yeah.
Like I said, we've got so much to get to. I can't promise a ton of phones today. Here's might be your best chance. So let's bang through these. Please be ready to go and be brief. And if I hang up on you, it's just because I want to get a lot of people in. Tony and Stone, and lead us off today. Go.
Mike in Mansfield. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I know you guys are busy, so I just want to make this brief.
Mike, you got to be quicker. Frank on Cape Coffrey.
Hey, Maz, to quote Emperor Hirohito, time to endure the unendurable. I mean, out of the jungle. Hey, Murray, what psychotropic thing did you sneak into Joe Kelly's brownies to turn him into a cool, calm, and collected eighth-inning pitcher?
Him? Price?
You gotta be quicker. Jeff in Rhode Island, go.
Hi, guys. I'm just calling in. I just want to speak to Maz directly, and pretty much everyone in that booth there. You guys may gave this team no shot. You complained about the bullpen. And, I mean, it's just, you old Red Sox Nation, you guys were completely wrong.
An apology? Do we really want an apology, Jeff? Jeff, have you called us before? Oh. He dropped. Bird in Maine. Hi, Bird. Go ahead.
How are you guys doing? Hey, you remember the Bird in Bangor power ranking back?
Bird, I don't. Oh, yeah. This is why I'm not going to take a lot of calls. This is a good lesson.
Time to endure the unendurable.
The Bird in Bangor power ranking.
Yeah. Do you remember my power rankings? No, I don't, Bird. I don't. I don't keep track of your power rankings, pal.
Yeah, you have to Google it. Bird in Bangor power rankings.
Truly, the day after championship calls are among the most painful.
Oh, yeah, the worst, yeah. Oh. Yeah, the worst.
The worst was the Bruins. I mean, we had to institute a whole new caller, a whole new call screen procedure based on the Bruins callers, where we had to X out the board to start 2 o'clock because otherwise the Bruins fans, like vultures, like maggots, would whoom, get on the board and take over the board, and no one else could get in to talk anything else other than the Bruins fans wanting to relive the cup. We had to do a whole new thing.
We took 3 calls that day.
They were like leeches.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.